Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
It's the dictionary.
Hello, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary. I am your host, Spencer. Maybe I can say my name correctly in this episode. This is episode F201, and if you would be so kind, please write a review for this show on Apple Podcasts, and maybe other places have things like that as well. Some other of those podcast catcher platforms. What's your favorite podcast catcher platform? What do you like? Why do you like it? If you have strong opinions on that, I would like to know. I've been using the Apple Podcast just because it's there and it's convenient and it, you know, it's got all the stuff in there. But I have been having some issues with it, and I know people don't really care for it. And so I would like to know what your thoughts are, because maybe I should switch. Maybe I should take the leap. But anyway, you can write a review. You can watch this on YouTube. A review on YouTube, maybe that's called a comment. You can email me, dictionarypod@gmail.com. You can call the Google Voice number, leave a message, 917-727-5757. So many sevens. Leave a voicemail. I'll put it in an episode unless you say no, no, no. You can join the Patreon for one measly U.S. dollar a month. That will get you very early episodes. At the time of recording, I believe that there are, oh my gosh, there's probably at least 4 weeks worth, 20 episodes or more up there early. What else are the things? Merchandise. Ooh, I just put up a couple more designs on my TeePublic store that people don't buy from. You remember that animation, Bulbous Bouffant? I recreated the three characters, the three guys, and those are up. You can buy them on a shirt if you want. I think that would be kind of fun. It's like people would be like, what the hell is that? And you could be like, well, it's the secret little thing that nobody knows about. All right, we gotta get into the words. The first word in this episode, not the next episode, the first word in this episode is fragmentation, noun, from 1881. Number one, the act or process of fragmenting or making fragmentary, or we can also say making fragmental. I'm going fragmental. My brain is fragmenting. Number two, the state of being fragmented or fragmentary. I'm in a state of being fragmental. Fragmentate. Wow, fragmentate, that is a verb. I'm just going to fragmentate this bottle because we are in a saloon and I would like to fight you, good sir. Let's fragmentate our bottles. That's it for that word. Oh, it is sound effect time. What am I going to do? I am going to go. And we're going to have some fun with that throughout the episode. Now we have fragmentation bomb, B-O-M-B. noun from 1918, you probably realize that that is World War I time. A lot of these words, not a lot, definitely not the majority. But every once in a while, it's not uncommon to find words that seem like they directly come from World War I or World War II. Because we were inventing a lot of military war things during those times. So this is a bomb or shell whose casing is splintered upon explosion and thrown in fragments in all direction. The bomb throws the pieces of the casing all around in lots of all of the directions. Literally every single direction the casings will go because it fragments and it's like, I am trying to maim or murder as many people as possible because I'm the bomb. I am exploding and I want to. The casing is designed in such a way that it's going to split apart in as many places as possible. Maybe we need to look up a picture of this fragmentation bomb because I want to know. Fragmentation bomb. I want to know what it looks like. Well, you know, your typical grenade. That's what I was thinking of. That is a fragmentation bomb because the outer casing of it is split into these little kind of squares. And the square part is raised, but then the parts in the middle of the squares is thinner. And so that's where it's going to break. Probably. So each one of those squares, give or take, is going to go pew. That's the sound of a bomb. I'm trying to make light of something that is very bad, and maybe I shouldn't be, but we got to have some lightness in the world. Next is fragmentize. Transitive verb from 1815. The synonym is fragment, so it's just the action. Could you also say fragmentate, maybe? I don't know. I'd say yes. Next is fragrance. Ah, what is this fragrance in the air? Oh, well, I just spent over 20 minutes walking to work in the sun, and so, what's that fragrance coming from my armpits? Ooh. This is a noun from 1667. Typically, the fragrance coming from your armpits is not called a fragrance. It has a different word, probably. Fragrance is something different. Fragrance might be, number 1A, a sweet or delicate odor. And examples of those odors might be fresh flowers, pine trees, or perfume. Ooh, well, okay, here's my comment on that. What's the smell of perfume? I'm going to just let you think about that for a second. The smell of perfume, what is that odor? What is that aroma? What is that fragrance? All the perfumes have their own odor, and sometimes they are made to smell like pine trees or fresh flowers or other things that smell nice. But perfume itself is not an odor. It's not an aroma. It's not a fragrance. Okay, thank you. But yes, that, oh, what a sweet fragrance. I mean, yes, you can say the perfume has a fragrance, but what is the fragrance? Skunk. 1B, something as a perfume compounded to give off a sweet or pleasant odor. So the thing that you are smelling is the fragrance and you have to waft your hand in front of your nose to bring it in. Oh, yes. Oh, look at that. That's what wonderful fragrance. Can he think of any other fragrances? Nope, those are all of the fragrances. No, of course, there's vanilla and cinnamon. And oh boy, we were at one of those stores that sells all of those candles and things you plug in. And I was overwhelmed by how many different flavors and names there are. In fact, I did a backwards talking short for one of them that was very easy to say. And it was star something, I don't know. It smelled like stars. But, so, the fragrance is the thing that you are smelling, but it is also the thing that is giving off the smell. Number 2, the quality or state of having a sweet odor. Oh, your odor is sweet. Now, we have synonym information for fragrance. Fragrance, perfume, scent and redolence. Oh, I've never seen this word before. Redolence. All of those words mean a sweet or pleasant odor. Fragrance suggests the odors of flowers or other growing things, as in the fragrance of pine. Can you come up with another fragrance book? You've already mentioned pine twice. The pine is a fairly strong odor, and we tend to put it in cars. Why do we make those things that you hook on your rearview mirror? Why do we make them pine? Flowers, a lot of flowers. I just smelled some flowers a couple of days ago. We were walking out of a movie theater and there were some flowers and I was like, oh, what a lovely fragrance that is. Perfume may suggest a stronger or heavier odor. Ah, the odor is pushing me down. It's so heavy. As in the example, the perfume of lilacs. So I guess, I mean, I would say pine is a slightly heavy odor, but maybe are lilacs a heavier odor, so we call them a perfume? Scent, S-C-E-N-T, is very close to perfume, but of wider application because more neutral in connotation. I feel like I read something wrong. Scent is very close to perfume, but of wider application because more neutral in connotation. I feel like it's supposed to say because it is more neutral, or they were like, we don't have the space for those letters, so we're going to take them out. The example is scent-free soaps. These soaps got no scent. A lot of people don't like scents on their soaps, because then they got scent on their hands and they don't want to be smelling their hands of that smell. And like, what if you go into a public bathroom in a restaurant and you're like, I don't like that smell, and now my hands are going to smell like that forever? People are very sensitive to fragrances, perfumes, scents, those sorts of things. Okay, the last one, redolence, R-E-D-O-L-E-N-C-E. It implies a mixture of fragrant or pungent odors, as in the redolence of a forest after a rain. Oh, well, yeah, that could be very pungent. Pungent can tend to be bad, negative, but not necessarily. I think a lot of people love the smell of the redolence of a forest after a rain. When a rain happens, I mean, there's the smell of the rain, but there's also, I think it mixes stuff up in the ground, in the natural areas. And, you know, the forest might already have a fragrance or a perfume from pine trees and lilacs and other things that are growing and living there. And then the rain is just like, here's more. Here's more. Okay, that was it for the word fragrance. There's no etymology because we're going to get it just in a little bit. Next is fragrancy. Noun from 1578. It sounds so similar to vagrancy. The fragrancy of vagrancy. You can now finish that sentence. The synonym is just fragrance. Next is fragrant. Adjective from the 15th century. This is having a sweet or pleasant smell. And I definitely don't believe that you can call me a fragrant person, because I'm not so sure I have a sweet or pleasant smell most of the time. So sorry. It's good that I do this alone. You know, if I were to put on a cologne or a perfume or something like that, or run through a forest after a rain naked, then yes, I might have. Then I might be a fragrant person. But typically, I am a human. Typically, I'm a human, and typically, the smells that come from a human are not for most people. A synonym is the word odorous. Ooh, that is a word that we don't use enough. Odorous. Fragrantly is an adverb. Okay, here's where the etymology comes in. It's not very interesting. It is from the Latin fragrare. Fragrare. That means to be fragrant. That's it. Does it have a smell? Is it fragrant? It's fragrant. Okay, great. Now we have the word frail, F-R-A-I-L. Adjective from the 14th century. Number one, easily led into evil. Ooh, this is showing this word's roots, its etymological roots. The example is frail humanity, and that is a phrase that I wouldn't understand, given my knowledge of the word now. What I think the word means now, not this older definition, I would think humanity is just weak. But according to this old definition, that humanity is easily led into evil, which, yeah, I mean, sure, we are definitely easily led to evil. We love evil. Number two, easily broken or destroyed. The synonym is fragile, which was in the previous episode, and there's probably, in fact, did we mention it? No, I don't know if we mentioned it then, but it seems like maybe there's an etymological connection between these words. Easily broken or destroyed. My sense of self is very frail. Number 3A, physically weak. That's it. Now, I have been working out, not to brag, but I have been doing a bit of working out, so I don't believe I am overall as physically weak as I used to be, but sometimes my back, my lower back, because I am...
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Old, and maybe there's something wrong with it. My lower back often feels frail, and I don't like that at all. And I'm working on it. Slowly but surely. 3B. The synonyms are slight and unsubstantial. So it's just like, it's just small and nothing, it's not important, it's just frail. A synonym is the word weak for the whole thing. Frailly is an adverb, and frailness is a noun. So, the etymology, well, it's from the Latin verb frangere or frangere, which, if we go to, I'm trying to find... Oh, here we go. Fragment also had the word frangere, which means to break. So yes, same etymology as fragment. Maybe fragile, but it doesn't say. And so it became frail. Okay, very interesting. Just was like, we need a word that's like fragment, like fragile, but we need to, it needs to be describing these things in a different way. Similar to fragile, but not quite. Okay, now, frailty, noun from the 14th century. Number one, the quality or state of being frail. I'm in a state of being frail, so I have frailty. Number two, a fault. Oh, by the way, we have to say, the first definition, easily led into evil, we didn't get any information about that in the etymology. I guess you could argue if it's from frangere, which means to break, then maybe your what they were thinking was that your soul is broken, your mental constitution is broken, something like that. And then the devil broke you. I've been broken by the devil, so I have been lured to the dark side because they have better snacks. Okay, so back to frailty. Number two, a fault due to weakness, especially of moral character. Yes, and I think this is definitely connected to going to evil. So if your moral character is broken, then you have a fault, which is a frailty. Oh, my frailty is that I'm too nice to people. A synonym is the word fault. Frailty, fault, very similar. Now, there is that movie, Frailty, which I saw, I think, many years ago, and I don't remember it great, to be honest. I think I saw it, but I can't remember. I think we own it, actually, so that's probably one that I should rewatch. So I can't remember the concept, and how it's connected, but I feel like it's maybe related because it's a horror movie, and I think it's a religious horror movie. I think that it is connected to this whole going to evil kind of thing. Let's look up. Yes, Bill Paxton, Matthew McConaughey from 2001. Did I see this? A mysterious man arrives at the offices of an FBI agent and recounts his childhood. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I did see this one. And I think I remember some stuff, and it was creepy. And yeah, that's worth a watch. That is a good movie. Yeah. If you haven't seen Frailty, you should watch Frailty. Okay. Now, we are going to go on to my sound effect, which is... Now we have the word phrase. F-R-A-I-S-E. It's not the word phrase, P-H-R-A-S-E. This one starts with an F, a for real F, not a fake F, a factual F. Noun from 1775. This is an obstacle of pointed stakes driven into the ramparts of a fortification in a horizontal or inclined position. And of course, I have to look up a picture of this phrase. Now, I have an idea of what they might be, but I don't know if that's exactly what... Okay, why are you showing me strawberries? Is that the French word for strawberry? Huh. What's a steak? Let's look up that word. Phrase steak, S-T-A-K-E. There's a strawberry-colored castle picture and another one that has red on it. And, okay, this is very interesting. This is what I wanted. Okay, right. So you got your fort or your castle, and there's a wall, and at the top of the wall, you got these posts. They probably are sharpened at a point for your vampires. And one could argue that this would make it easier to climb up. But I think they're also trying to say it's trying to stop people from getting up there. But yeah, they're literally just going out at a horizontal line, and there's just a whole bunch of them, and that's the phrase. Why does Google have a hard time with this word? I guess maybe not a lot of people are looking up phrase in terms of steaks. They're mostly looking up phrase in terms of strawberries. Okay, that's phrase. Fantastic. I did not know what that was. The phrase, the strawberry phrase, has a wonderful, fragrant aroma. Oh, it smells so good. Now we have the word fracture. No, you have to emphasize the ter. Fracture. Fracture. Spelled capital F-R-A-K-T-U-R or a C instead of a K. Noun from 1904. Number one, a German style of black letter. What is a black letter? I don't know. That could be a few different things. A black letter? Is that in here? Is that in the dictionary? Did I read something about a black letter at some point in the past? We gotta look this up, because it could be the letter that you write. It could be a letter that you print on a piece of paper. Here's black letter. A heavy, angular, condensed typeface used especially by the earliest European printers and based on handwriting used chiefly in the 13th to 15th centuries, also this style of handwriting. So it's thick and angular, but also condensed. So it is literally just a typeface. I mean, I know that in fonts you can choose black, but fracture is the German style of that typeface. Okay. But number two, which is often not capitalized, it is a Pennsylvania German document that is written in calligraphy and illuminated with decorative motifs like tulips, birds, and scrolls. And an example, or a couple examples of this document, the Pennsylvania German document would be a birth or wedding certificate. So they like to make it. Those Pennsylvania Germans like to use this Fraktur, this black letter, fancy type, and make their birth or wedding certificates or other types of documents very fancy. Also drawing in tulips, birds, and scrolls and other fancy things. Maybe ribbons, maybe cherubs, maybe pine trees. Okay, so, interesting. So it's from, it's German. It's from the Latin fractura, which means fracture. But why fracture? Why is something being broken? Let's see. Where's the K? I have lost my letters. I don't remember. There's the K. Here, fracture font. Yes. Okay, so this is pretty much what I thought. When you think of, oh, I don't know, Nosferatu or something old in German, this is that font. It's got, how to describe this? Well, the edges, the ends of each letter are very pointy and sharp, and you would not want to touch it because it might give you a splinter. It might injure you. That's in most cases. Yeah, like the M. The tops of the M is very angular, and the letters are kind of thick. And yeah, it's like organic, but not. It's very beautiful. I like it. I got no problem with it. It's not necessarily the easiest font to read. That's for sure. Got to use it in a very specific situation. So are they using these in these documents? Let's look up fractur documents. Oh, wow. These are fancy. Yes, I mean, this is the font that they're using because they're probably hand calligraphied, which is definitely a verb. And this one, what is this? Well, I can't read it. I can't read it because it's in German probably. And it's very tiny font in this situation. But there's the middle portion has text. And then the majority of the document is just covered in yellow, orange, green, mostly those colors. There's birds and there's flowers and green leaves and it's all over the place. I should post a picture of this or something similar because they have taken the decoration to just another level. It's mostly decoration, not so much content, but it looks very nice. Okay, fraktur. Next is frambesia. Frambesia. This is frambesia. Noun from 1803. The synonym is yaws. 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 Well, if you don't know what that is, because I'm not so sure what context we're talking about that, the etymology says this is French, frambois, or framboise, which means raspberry, or raspberry. The berry has such a raspy voice. Which is from the appearance of the lesions. Oh, okay. So is yaws a disease with lesions? And you've got the frambesia on your skin when you get the lesions and the color of the lesions is raspberry? Raspberry. So that's interesting. Frambesia. Okay, I guess, I don't know, yaws. Do I have to look up yaws? Nah, don't feel like it. Next we have... Okay, so this is interesting. There's a couple of things in the pronunciation about this word that I would like to comment on. It says, this word is pronounced frambois. Now I think I said it wrong. Framboise. And I always pronounced it frambois because it seemed like the proper French way to say it. Because it is spelled frambois. Framboise, Idaho. But... the pronunciation says the first syllable is fron with an N, but the N is superscript, so it's just a very subtle N, fron. And then the second syllable is bois. You do actually pronounce the S, and I didn't know that, so next time I am talking about this framboise. And somebody says framboise, I shall correct them. I shall smack them in the face and say, no, 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 it is pronounced framboise. Because I have a podcast about the dictionary and I know all of the things, well, up to page 496. This is a noun from circa 1945. It is a brandy or liqueur made from raspberries. From those raspy, raspy raspberries. Rascally, raspy raspberries. Okay, yes, I mean, I have had this a little bit, either by itself or in a drink, a cocktail, and it is tasty if you like the raspberries. I feel like it's kind of a thick and syrupy, too. So, yes, this is a French word, which literally means raspberry. Of Germanic origin, akin to the Dutch word, ooh, what's this word? Brombus. I don't know how to pronounce this word, this Dutch word, but it means blackberry. Or literally brambleberry, brambleberry, Old High German bromberry, and there's more at the words broom and berry. Broom. Do you need a broom to sweep up all of the brambleberries? Don't know how broom got into this. Interesting. Framboise. All right, now we have one more word in this episode. Oh, yeah, that smells good. Now we have the word frame, first form, verb from the 14th century. Starting with transitive, number one, to construct by fitting and uniting the parts of a skeleton of what? Just a structure. So when you're framing the building, you have to put up all of the boards and things to frame it, to you're creating the skeleton of what you are going to put on top of it, which could be bigger boards, drywall, brick, steel, whatever. But you gotta make the frame first. And my hand motions are this is the frame of the house. Number 2A, synonyms are plan and contrive, as in framed a new method of achieving their purpose. They wanted to do a thing, and they didn't like the way that they were doing that, trying to get to that thing, and so they had to come up with a new way. They had to frame out a new idea. 2B, synonyms are shape and construct. When you've got the clay, you're making a vase, maybe, and you are shaping it, you're framing it. That's it. 2C, to give... What is this word? Oh, here we go. To give expression to, the synonym is formulate. To give expression to, you're expressing something. You're making a formula, formulating a thing, so you're framing it. Sure. 2D, to draw up, and what are you drawing up? It might be a document. Maybe you are drawing up a fracture, you're creating it. Right? This is all about the idea of building something from nothing, creating that structure of some kind. 3A, to devise falsely. And what are you devising falsely? It might be a criminal charge. A criminal charge. You are creating, but you're falsely creating this criminal charge? 3B, to contrive the evidence against so that a verdict of guilty is assured. Well, this seems wrong and illegal. The example of who this evidence is going against is an innocent person. So they didn't do the thing. This is, I've been framed. Took me a couple of definitions to get to that point. You're devising falsely the criminal charge. I thought the lawyers were doing that, but no, this is like, but I wasn't the one who stole the art off the wall in the museum. Somebody else did it. I've been framed. Like, there's a frame around me in the art. You get it? Okay, good. Number 3C, the synonym is the 7B definition for the word fix. Anything else about to say about Frame? I don't know. How often are people being framed for things? You gotta do a lot of work. You gotta do the bad thing. You gotta do the criminal thing, but then you gotta make it look like somebody else did that thing. I feel that's too much work. I'm too lazy to frame anybody. Number four, to fit or adjust, especially to something or for an end. The synonym is arrange. You're fitting or adjusting something for something else, arranging things. Maybe you're doing some sewing on some clothes to make it bigger or smaller. So would you be framing the clothes? Yeah. Number five is obsolete. The synonym is produce. Number six, to enclose in a frame, but also to enclose as if in a frame. How do you enclose something that's not in a frame, but it's like it's in a frame? As if it's in a frame. It's kind of like it's in a frame. That's a funny one. But, you know, we think of typically a photo or a painting or something. You got to go get it framed, put it in a frame, enclose it. You should say that. When you go get something framed, you say, can you please enclose this in a frame for me? I would like you to enclose it in a frame. Just all around so we can't see it anymore. All right. Intransitive is number one, which is archaic. The synonyms are proceed and go. How did they use that in a sentence in archaic times? I shall proceed, I shall go, I shall frame. Number two is obsolete. The synonym is manage. I'll manage. I'll frame. Frameable, that is an adjective, and framer is a noun, the one who is enclosing things in frames. All right. So now we have reached the end of the words, and what happens after that? You know it. You can say it. That's right. I shall pick a word of the episode. And, you know, we got some contenders here. Today we had fragmentation, fragmentation bomb, fragmentize, fragrance, fragrancy, fragrant, a fragrant vagrant. There, that's a little bit better. Oh, that vagrant is so fragrant. Frail, frailty, phrase, fracture, frambesia, framboise, and frame. Okay. I would still enjoy it if you were to let me know what you think the word of the episode should be. I would like to know what your thoughts are on that. Let's see. This is a hard one. We've got framboise. That's a very good one. Frambesia is a fun word to say, but it's about lesions, I guess, so I don't think I love that. Fracture is also a very interesting thing that I just learned about. I also just learned about phrase, which are the things on the ramparts trying to poke people in the eyes. Let's see. Well, let's just pick framboise. Gimme a drink, gimme a drink, make it a framboise drink. I want to drink the framboise, I want to drink the framboise. Framboise, framboise. Framboise, framboise. Oh yeah, that was so good. No more movies to tell you about. We might go see one tonight. It's a Friday for me. And we started watching the 18th series of Taskmaster because we're in the 19th series and we haven't watched any of the old ones. And so we thought, well, let's just go backwards. And we just watched one episode. It took us all night to watch one episode. In that episode is Andy Zalt, or in that series is Andy Zaltzman, who is the brother of Helen Zaltzman, who has been on this podcast for the word etymology, and she has her own podcast called The Allusionist, which is fantastic, with tons of great episodes, so you should go check that out. And she is, I don't know if she would call herself a comedian, but she is absolutely a comedian. She's very funny and smart. And he is officially a comedian, so he has been on that show. And I think she would have a good time on that show, but I don't know if that's ever going to happen. I don't know if she wants to. Anyway, This is the end of the episode. Thank you for joining. Thank you for checking it out. Subscribe and share and do all those things and download your pants off. This has been Spencer Dispensing Information. Goodbye.